Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Hey, everyone. Have you been to the Organic Gardener Podcast website and signed up for our email list? If you go there, you will get my new PDF, 7 Awesome Ways to Find More Time in Your Garden. And it's just some tips that I've learned from listening to my amazing guests who are always sharing with us super effective ways to be a better gardener. So if you head over to the organicgardenerpodcast.com and enter your email, you'll get 7 awesome ways to find more time in your garden. You can also get a copy of our ebook of Organic Gardening Basics. And just all the show notes are there, all the links to our show. So, and I'll be sending out some Golden Seeds newsletters as I get them done. And of course, you'll get a special invitation to join the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook community. Hope to see you there. Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast today. I am super excited. We're going to do something a little bit different, but I have another fellow podcaster from Podcaster's Paradise here with me, who is a host of the Food Heals podcast. So I think a lot of listeners who listen to my show are going to love to listen to their show. She co-hosts it with a girl, Susie Hardy, and they just really talk to amazing people about how healthy food and nutrition can make you a healthier, happier, and hotter you. So her name is Allison Melody, and but people call you Allie, right? Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here, Jackie. Yes, people call me Allie or Allison. It does not matter to me. I'm happy with either one. I'll respond.
Okay. And well, just thank you so much for connecting with us and coming to share your story and how you got into the organic food movement. And just so do you just want to tell listeners a little bit about yourself and the Food Heals podcast, or is that
sure?
We start there? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that sounds great. So yeah, we host the Food Heals podcast. And it's really just all about helping people get healthier mind, body, and spirit. And, you know, we're not trying to change anyone. We're trying to give people the tools that they need to help change themselves and make the healthiest decisions they can for themselves, whether it's changing their diet, changing their lifestyle, getting out of a toxic relationship or a job, you know, and really following their dreams. And so we just want to be a place of encouragement, enlightenment, and education.
Well, awesome. And I have listened to your podcast, and it is very inspiring and very informative. And it's just, you guys really rock it and have lots of fun there. So do you, well, you know, I always start out my show asking about your very first gardening experience. And in the pre-chat, you were telling me a little bit about it. So do you want to tell us, like, I usually say, like, how old were you? Who were you with? What'd you grow? Like, what was your first gardening experience like?
Sure. And it's funny because I was listening to your podcast as well. And you said that you were looking to have people from different states. And I live in California, but I'm actually from North Carolina, which is one of the states you are looking for.
Awesome.
So I can tell you my North Carolina story. Just growing up, I grew up composting. I grew up gardening. I didn't know that not everyone did that for a long time. You know, I just thought it was a part of life. We had our trash can, we had our recycle bin, and we had our composting pile. And I remember separating everything. And it's really interesting today because now it's very trendy to do that. It's very green to do that. But back then it was just a part of our lives. And so I do find that interesting. But I was young. You know, I don't remember what age. It was my entire childhood until maybe I stopped gardening or stopped being more of a part of it in high school. But really, my growing up, my dad had a tomato garden. We had these giant, beautiful sunflowers that would grow so tall. And I remember I would run away from the bees. And it was just a really, really great experience. And we didn't grow all our own food. We, you know, we lived in a small town, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, but it was a college town. So it had, you know, tons of restaurants and grocery stores nearby. And so it was kind of a combination of going to what we had there was the Food Lion and the Harris Teeter, and those were our grocery stores, and then also eating fresh vegetables out of the garden. And, you know, growing up that way, it's interesting because I went away from it from a long time to eating processed food, fast food, and restaurant fare, and now I'm back where I was when I was younger. So it's interesting how it's kind of come full circle to eating the most organic local food that I can.
Excellent. Wow. Well, that sounds just lovely growing up in Chapel Hill. And that's a pretty famous, like there's a, that college is pretty famous, right? Chapel Hill in North Carolina?
Yeah. UNC is really well known for a lot of things. One of them being their basketball team, Tar Heels, you know, Michael Jordan, all that kind of stuff. So I grew up in that basketball culture a little bit, but it's a very, it's an interesting town. It's very, very liberal and very wealthy at the same time. And so I kind of grew up in a bubble and I didn't realize and the rest of North Carolina was the South. And they said, y'all, and they said, hey, what's up, y'all? And I didn't know because that's not what anyone said in Chapel Hill. So it was an interesting childhood. And then I kind of now have seen more of the world and seen how things work. And I'm grateful for the way that I grew up. You know, I didn't grow up in a tiny apartment in South LA like some of the people I interview, and you know, I didn't grow up extremely wealthy, but I didn't grow up extremely poor either. I just grew up in a great house with a garden and, you know, a lake across the street and a waterfall next to us, and that sounds fancy, but it was just the lake went into a creek, and you know, we played in the creek growing up, and I was always surrounded by nature and animals, and I had a lot of pets, and there was a lot of animals that ran around in the creek, and it was just normal.
Nice. All right. Well, huh. So then how'd you end up in LA?
Sure. So that is quite a long story. I don't know how deep you want me to go, but I can try to keep it short. But the reason that I ended up in LA really coincides with coming back to what I was talking about earlier, just becoming more aware of my food and eating organic. It all happened at the same time. I was in North Carolina going to college. My mother had suffered from multiple sclerosis for many years, and it just progressively got worse and worse. And she was taking so many medications that she became completely debilitated, was unable to work, and just spent her days either she lived at the beach at this time. They moved when I went to college, moved to Wilmington, and she would sit on the beach looking out to the ocean in kind of like a longing and a sadness, or she would sit on the couch in front of the TV, just watching TV and taking her pills. She had to take pill after pill after pill every hour to make sure and write it down to make sure that that pill didn't coincide, you know, give a side effect from another pill, and eventually she got diagnosed with cancer. And we had no awareness of what we ate. We had moved away from the gardening. They had moved to the beach. They were eating, you know, whatever was close by, which was a lot of fast food, a lot of restaurant food, and just not healthy, salt of the earth, organic food. It was really processed food from the grocery store and things like that. And I had no idea that food mattered or food healed, which is now obviously the name of my brand and everything I do, Food Heals, but we had no idea. And so when she was diagnosed with cancer, I remember specifically asking the doctor, does food matter? Does what she eats matter for her health? And he said, no, it doesn't matter at all. She can eat an ice cream sundae. She can eat an apple. It doesn't matter. And so we continued to do these treatments, and she withered away and passed away, unfortunately. And that was the first time that I started to have, like, you know, questioning life. Like, why are we here? Why was she suffering? You know, what is my purpose in life? And what was her purpose if she was just going to die? And so I was having an existential crisis, let's say. And I picked up a book, and it was all about food and how it affects the body. And the premise of the book was that if you ate everything you wanted to eat, but you ate the organic version instead of the conventional GMO'd food, you would be healthy. And that was my first step. It blew my mind. I could not believe what I was reading. I had no idea our food was being manipulated. I had no idea what a GMO, genetically modified organism, was. I had no idea what global warming was. Like, I had no clue of what was going on in the world environmentally. And so that was my wake-up call, and that really started to change my habits. And at this time, you know, I had gained weight. I used to be an active, you know, soccer player, and I used to be, you know, I don't know. I just used to be healthy. And by that time, going through the pain of losing my mom and just not caring what I ate, I had gained weight. I was uncomfortable in my body. I didn't feel well. And I switched my food to all organic. And all of a sudden, things started to get better for me. I felt better. I looked better. I lost weight. I felt more vibrant. I had more energy. And I thought, oh my God, food matters. Right?
Yeah.
And so then I tried to switch my father, and he did not believe what I believed, and he was diagnosed with cancer. And I couldn't believe it. I could not believe this was happening again. So I started giving him organic food. I started piling vegetables on his plate. I started making him green garlic smoothies because I read that garlic, I forget, but, you know, killed cancer cells, and, you know, no sugar because sugar fed cancer. And I tried to clean up his diet, but my dad said, you know what, honey, I love you, but I want to drink my drink, you know, drink my whiskey or whatever it was, drink my beer, smoke my cigars, and die the way that I want to die. And that was the hardest thing for me ever to accept, because I wanted to save his life, and I knew I could with the food. But I had to learn that I couldn't if he didn't believe it, right?
Yeah. Do you think he wanted to be with your mom?
You know, they say that when a spouse dies, the other one follows quickly. You know, there's so many examples of that in our history. And he wanted to be with my mom. He was heartbroken.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of other tragedies. Just side note, his brother had been run over by a car when he was young. His father had killed himself. And then his wife dies. I mean, he was a broken man, you know. And there's a lot of emotional components that I know your podcast is about gardening and not about all this stuff, but, you know, I learned a lot about how important it is not only to eat healthy, but also to be really conscious of your emotions and what are you holding on to and who do you need to forgive and what do you need to let go of in your past and who do you need to honor in your life and who do you need to let go of, and all those kind of things really shape who we are, right?
Absolutely.
And so you asked how I got to LA, and this is kind of how I got to LA is in conjunction with when I was losing my mom. I graduated from college, wanted to be a filmmaker, and I wanted to do films that mattered, social justice, and I wanted to do documentaries, and I wanted to do foods about film eventually when I realized all of the things I was learning and why we need to eat organic. And then I moved to California and started working with an organization and learning about food deserts and how there were so many people who didn't grow up the way that I grew up with a garden in the yard. They lived in food deserts where they had no access to healthy food. We started interviewing people in South LA that said, what's a carrot? Our carrots are Cheetos. We don't eat no vegetables. And I started to realize this is an epidemic. This is a problem. This is why our children are obese. This is why we have chronic debilitating diseases like we've never seen before. It's all about the food. And so I moved to LA to really pursue my passion. I've been working with this organization that helps nonprofits get healthy foods into their communities and all kinds of other social justice issues that I won't get into. But that's become my passion, and that's all I want to do. And so living in LA is a great place because there is a lot of information and education, but there's also such a huge need for this information and education, you know, and that's what I try to do, whether it's with the podcast, whether it's with my video production company. I just want to help people change their lives and go organic. And for us, we're really all about eating vegetarian and eating vegan. But if you don't want to go that far, at least eat locally, eat organically, and know where your food comes from.
Awesome. So one thing I wanted to say, like when you were first talking, is that isn't that crazy the way doctors, like I had a doctor tell me that people who eat sugar and people who don't both get cancer. I had a friend who he was diagnosed with cancer. He had throat cancer. And so the doctors told him to drink milkshakes because, and eventually his esophagus closed up and he had to get a colostomy, you know, and just eat out of like smoothies that they would like insert into his stomach. But anyway.
Oh yeah, my God.
Just. That either.
Oh no, I loved your story. I was actually responding to it about what you said about your doctor. And, you know, I'm sad that, yeah, I knew you couldn't hear me because I was like, I'm just going to be quiet now. And then when you asked the question, I responded again. And then, yeah, so I don't know what happened. Would you want to go back and tell your story again?
Okay. Well, I don't really remember what I was saying. I know I was talking about my friend who had cancer, and they told him he had throat cancer, like of the esophagus, and that his throat closed over. And like while it was closing, they were like, well, just drink milkshakes because that will go down and it's not going to make a difference if you drink a milkshake or anything. And then he had a really long quality of life got extended for like 2 years when he started seeing a nutritionist. And she started, you know, giving him like, wheatgrass juice, and just, they had like, he had this huge smoothie thing that he would take every day. And so he was still able to hike all around here and had a really nice quality of life at the end of his life because he went the natural, organic, and nutrition way, but it was just too late for him.
You know, it's so sad because I'm very glad that he did get to have those last 2 years. And it's just so sad that there are so many doctors that it's of no fault of their own. They don't know because they're not trained in nutrition. And so we listen to them. They're trained by trainers who are sponsored by pharmaceutical drug industries. And so they don't learn about nutrition and healing the body, because if they did, then the drug companies wouldn't be funding their schools. And so it's a really messed up system. And I'm glad that he was able to find a nutritionist to help him for those last 2 years so he could live a good quality of life.
Yeah. And I'm sorry that your dad didn't choose to try that way, but like, I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
So where should we go? Do you want to talk a little bit about your movies, and because the environmentalist social justice person in me has just got to ask.
Of course. Sure. The main one I'm working on right now is called Food Heals, and it follows like these really inspiring people who have healed their bodies through nutrition and not drugs. And it's not anti-Western medicine. It's not a Michael Moore gotcha film. It's really about how you can heal your body and how these people do it. And so we just want people to be inspired. For example, we have a woman who had ovarian cancer, and you know, the doctor said, we need to get you into surgery. We need to get you into chemotherapy and radiation immediately. And she decided to do a cleanse. And for 4 months, she decided to cleanse. And after 4 months, if she wasn't better or the tumors hadn't shrunk or whatever, then she would do the surgery. In 4 months' time, she was able to completely reverse her disease by juicing and eating fruits and vegetables only. And she also got out of a toxic relationship. She ended her marriage. And so between those things, learning to love herself, learning to love her body, taking care of herself, the cancer went away. The doctors were shocked and didn't even believe. A new doctor was like, well, you were misdiagnosed. You didn't have cancer in the first place. Because they couldn't understand that fruits and vegetables had the ability to heal your body. And so that's what that film is all about. And then the social justice ones are really what I do for my clients. And so, you know, a really good example of one we did recently was there's Coachella in California, and it's a city, but most people know of it because it's this big music concert where bands play and everyone goes and camps out, and it's a really popular music festival. But what no one talks about is on the outskirts of Coachella are hundreds and thousands of farm workers that are feeding California, that are feeding the rest of the U.S., and they are being treated horribly. They live in unsanitary conditions. They have arsenic in their drinking water. So they're getting diseases. They have psoriasis all over their body. There are children suffering. And no one talks about this, and no one knows about this because they're often undocumented farm workers. So the city or the government said it's going to cost millions of dollars for us to get clean drinking water, and they did nothing. And so what happened was these nonprofits got funding, came together, and got water filters made for a couple, you know, $27,000 or something instead of $27 million. I can't remember the exact statistics. And are now implementing and inputting these filtration systems into the communities so that the farm workers that are feeding us, putting our produce in Whole Foods and in our grocery stores, can now have the same access to quality drinking water that we do. And there's a lot of other issues there. You know, I won't go into everything, but it's things like that that are happening in many of our backyards and we're completely unaware. And so I like to bring awareness to what's happening in these communities. You know, there are so many food deserts. There are so many people that do not have access or cannot afford healthy food. And so we partner with a lot of organizations and campaigns that are really trying to get healthy food into the hands of kids, get healthy food into schools, school lunch programs, all that kind of stuff. And so that's what my films really focus on, is social justice and activism. And I'm not the person doing the work. I can't take credit for it. All I do is document the work that these amazing community members are doing.
But that's pretty important, because getting their story out there is going to help build support for them. And you know, educate people. And, you know, it's, I think that's a really important part. So, and that's a lot of my guests do the same thing. Like, I feel like I'm just honored to share my guests, and you're one of them, your story today and the great work that you're doing. So, so let's see. So do you, have a garden at all?
So Jackie, don't judge me. I have a yard now. I live in LA and I used to live in apartments, and so I didn't have a yard. And last year my husband and I finally moved into a house. So we do have a yard, but I haven't started the gardening. We do have a few things. We have rosemary and mint. So that's been really nice, but we have not started yet. And my only excuse is that I work in the film industry and my husband's a producer and we just work too much. And I know that's a terrible reason, but I really want to make gardening a part of my life again, like it was when I was growing up. But right now I don't.
Oh my gosh, you totally don't have to apologize. And my listeners know, like, if it was up to me, there's days where I go 4 days without even seeing the garden. Like, if it was up to me, uh-huh. we wouldn't have anything. My husband does it all. And as far as being in the film industry, so my brother's a cameraman and New York. He's worked on like shows like Law and Order, and he
cool.
he's working on The Blind Spot right now. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Not yet, but that's awesome.
And so I know the crazy hours that people work. I
mean, right.
his schedule is just insane. Like when they're on, you know, film, like he'll go like 6 months where he works, you know, practically 24 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and just sleeps on the weekends. And it's just crazy when I think about the hours that he puts in. It just seems like when he's working on a show, it's just that's it. And there's no life. And then he usually gets like a couple few months off after it's done in between seasons.
Exactly. But,
so and so I definitely would never judge you, certainly. And especially, like I said, I'm not the big gardener. I have all to do to try to like grow my own lettuce. Part of my show, I have to say, has really inspired me to grow more. Like Mike said, last year and this year, I've been in the garden more than ever. And, you know, a lot of my guests have shared tips that just make it easier and more successful and less time intensive. And so I think we're all learning, but
big, I know, I just because I'm on the Organic Gardener podcast and I don't have a gardener, but I love your show. And, you know, it is one of my goals. And so that's going to be like the number one thing I do is go back and listen to some of the first episodes so I can like get started and get myself motivated. So I'm really excited about that.
Okay. So speaking of podcasting, so you're the one that had the great idea for me to get my to reach out to sponsors and get some gifts and things for my podcast to try to get some more reviews on iTunes and get people, you know, maybe eventually get some sponsors through those people. Like, I know I didn't hear it directly from you, but you were the one that came up with that idea. So do you want to talk a little bit about like business for people?
Sure. I mean, I love talking about business because I'm such an entrepreneur and I just love doing,
there?
I love,
I think.
Oh yeah, I'm here.
Skype just dropped that or something happened.
I'm here. Oh no.
Oh, you are there.
You
okay. No.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. See, that was GarageBand. Yes.
Oh,
I can
weird.
Hear you and we're still recording. Okay.
Okay,
so
great.
Just go ahead.
Cool. All right. So I'll answer your question. Sure. So I love talking about business. I love being an entrepreneur and I love the swag bags. So the way that I came up with this is I did a fundraiser a couple years ago and it was to raise money for the film Food Heals. And I did swag bags. And so everyone that came to the party got a swag bag. So that forced me to reach out to companies. So I reached out to companies that were brands that I believed in or I used. So any companies that were organic and vegan, like face creams and mascaras and, you know, even a seed company donated some seedlings to us. All these companies that were in alignment with our mission donated all this product. And it was such a great learning experience because then I was able to carry it over to the Food Heals podcast. So when I started the podcast, one of the things, as you know, Jackie, that we learn in Podcasters Paradise is that, you know, we got to keep getting our ratings and reviews so that iTunes keeps us in, you know, the top 10, the top 20, top 30, et cetera. on iTunes in our category so that more people can see us and we get more exposure so that we, people like Jackie and I, can help more people. And so how do we get reviews? Well, we decided to incentivize. So I'm not a Yelper. I don't go on Yelp and review every restaurant I go to. But if the restaurant said, hey, we're going to give you a free meal if you leave us a review, then I'll be happy to. I'll say, yes, I love the food, but I want to come back. So here's your review. So we wanted to incentivize people like that. And so we came up with using, we put together 10 swag bags. So we reached out to companies and we said, hey, we absolutely love your refreshing spray, you know, your rose oil, and we use it all the time. And we would love to tell our listeners about it. Here's a little bit about them. They all want to be healthier versions of themselves, you know, demographics, et cetera. And people send us products. And so we put together 10 swag bags and full of amazing, luscious organic products. And so then we just said on the podcast, hey guys, leave us a review and you'll be entered to win a swag bag. And the reviews poured in. It was incredible. Like, we were hearing from people that loved our show, that it had helped or changed them. And then people could also tell us their story. So we were giving them a voice as well, which was great, a great way to connect with your listeners. And then we would read our favorite, on the podcast, and then people would have to tweet us or Facebook us or email us a screenshot of their review to enter the contest. So it worked for, in our benefit, to have us getting reviews on iTunes to help us keep us on the top of the list. And then it was also a great way to connect with our listeners and send 10 of them free swag bags, which everyone loves a little swag. Like, it's one of the best things to get free stuff in the mail from trusted companies that you love, right? And so it's a win-win for everyone. What it also did is it built a relationship with those companies we reached out to. So for example, one of them was Global Healing Center, which they have products that I absolutely love. I use their supplements. I use everything from Global Healing Center. And now they've become one of our sponsors. And so by reaching out and offering them something of value, instead of saying, hey, do you want to pay to sponsor our show? They're like, we don't know who you are. No. We established a rapport with them. We established that this is what we're doing. This is what we're all about. And here's how we can help you. So we offered them something of value first before asking for something of value in return. So it's a win-win situation for everyone involved. And it's really fun, right? The swag bags are so fun.
It was just like the first time I came home and saw this box from, I got a box from Nutiva and Numi Teas and Mary's Gone Crackers, because I thought I was reaching out to Nutiva, but somehow I got this PR company in New York and she's like, yeah, we handle all three of these companies. So I opened up this box and it was just you. It was just so fun to get it all. And yeah. And then to be sharing it with my listeners. And then the first time, at first I was like, well, they're going to post like iTunes reviews, but they were so sweet. And just like, I could tell that they've been listening and they've been learning things, and just, it really makes your heart like, you know, just like, wow, that, you know, because, you know, you see your numbers on Libsyn or podcast websites or wherever your stats are coming from. But like, when you actually hear from listeners, it's just like, really reaffirming and makes you keep going.
It absolutely warms your heart. And you know, the thing about the reviews is you don't get people that are just like, I want something free. You get people who are like, you know what, I would love to tell them what I like about their show. And that warms our hearts to read their stories. Yeah. Exactly like they're, like you're saying.
Yeah. So that's been really great. I've been a little slow getting my winners out from May, but I just recorded it right before we started today.
Nice. Awesome.
I just managed, so I'll get that posted. And then my June contest. So thank you so much for that idea. And yeah, you're right. It does help establish a relationship with people. And just, I had no idea you could do anything like that. Like the business thing, I've been really studying business, listening to John's Entrepreneur on Fire has been the biggest thing for me to learn about all sorts of things that I didn't know. Cause I'm not a business type of person.
Oh, that's great.
All right. Well, anything else we want to,
okay. You said anything else you want to talk about? I would just say, if anyone listening out there, you know, is not sure how to start on, you know, changing your diet, it's like, how can you get more vegetables on your plate? whether they're from your garden, whether they're from the grocery store. You want to make sure that they're local and as organic as possible. And the way you can find out is if they're organic is the numbers mean something. So a 9 at the front on the produce sticker means it's organic. A 4 means it's grown conventionally. And there's no point in buying this conventionally grown produce because it's full of toxic substances and preserves that you don't need in your body. And so that's just something your body has to detox out. So I just always recommend get your veggies, put as much veggies on your plate as you can, blend them in a smoothie, fruits as well. Fruits are great. And make sure there's a 9 in front of them. And if you can go to your local farmer or go to a farmer's market, do it.
Oh, I had no idea those numbers. Somebody told me that, but then I wasn't sure that how that worked. So
yeah.
Can I ask you a question for somebody like me? I asked somebody else this recently too. Mm-hmm. I am like the veggie, like I love veggies. I could eat veggies all day long, but fruit,
me too.
I have to like force myself to eat fruit. You do? What do you do to like help yourself get more fruit into your system? And like for me, the biggest thing I have against it is it's just so messy. Like it just, you know, you bite into a peach or something and it's just juices gobbling or, you know, streaming down your chin or just, I spend a lot of time eating in my car and just fruit just seems impractical.
It is a very impractical for the car. Yeah, I can see like the peach juice is squirting all over the car. So I would recommend eating at home or outside when you can. But the best way to get fruits in is just smoothies because you just blend them up. You can drink that in the car, you know, just have a good container that won't spill. And I make smoothies every single day, every single morning, sometimes twice a day. Sometimes I'll make them for dinner. And, you know, it's a great way to get fruit in. I also have fruit for dessert instead of sugar because I'm a little bit of a sweet tooth. Okay, I'm a big sweet tooth, let's be honest. And I always want cookies and candy and cake before I go to bed. And so instead, I have to force myself to eat a really sweet peach or an orange or something like that to curb that craving because I don't think that craving will ever go away no matter how hard I try. So for me, I actually really enjoy fruit.
Nice. All right. Well, that is a good tip. So what do you put in your, like, do you have a smoothie recipe for us? I like to put yogurt in my smoothie. Are you a vegan? You don't eat yogurt.
I'm mostly vegan. I don't eat dairy because dairy causes inflammation, and inflammation is very hard on the body, and it's the first source of any type of sickness or disease. And so we really want to reduce our inflammation. And some people are allergic to dairy, so I stay away from it. There's some great coconut kefir yogurts and things like that that you can do if you like yogurt, because yogurt does give it that creaminess. Another way to get the creaminess, surprisingly, is avocado. You put a half or a fourth of avocado in your smoothie, and it's going to give you that same consistency that you like from the yogurt. So I always put either banana or avocado in my smoothie. Banana will make it sweeter. Avocado will not make it sweeter. So it's really what you're going for. And do I have a smoothie recipe, Jackie? I have so many. I don't even know where to start. But, you know, just blend up some ice. Okay. And pick a couple of berries, whatever. I mean, it's whatever I have in the house. So we subscribe to a CSA program, which means every week they deliver farm fresh organic fruits and vegetables to our door. And we don't get to pick them. It's whatever's in season. It's whatever the farmers are growing. And so I'll get a package and I'll have blueberries and strawberries and oranges in the summer and then like more wintry foods and wintry vegetables in the winter. And so I just have to make it up as I go along. But basically what I put in my smoothies is either avocado or banana and then a fruit and then some kale because we want to get our greens in there. And then I'll put whatever powders I need. Like I'll put a little vitamin C powder in there. Sometimes I put a little vegan protein powder in there, pea protein, something like that. And then the way to sweeten it is if you have a sweet tooth is with dates. Dates are extremely sweet, but they're not like sugar. They're not going to make you feel all crazy and then make you crash, right? And so I love dates. And then blend it up with some ice and you've got a delicious smoothie. And then either water, coconut milk, or almond milk are my faves or my go-tos.
Awesome. All right. Well, I think listeners are really going to enjoy this episode today.
I hope so.
Got any final words?
You know, it's all about doing your best. I think it's progress over perfection because we have so many people that are trying to change and they go almost too extreme or too cold turkey or something like that. And then they're miserable because they're like, well, I can only eat vegetables now. And it's like, no. You can still eat all the foods you enjoy. You just, the more vegetables you put on your plate, the better you're going to feel. The more organic, local, and sustainably you eat, the better it is for yourself, for the health of your family, and for the health of our environment. So just what little change can you make today to have a better tomorrow?
You know, you had those brothers on and they talked about one thing that they said that I really liked was like, even if you just go vegan for one day, you're going to save an animal's life on that day. And every day that you can go vegan, you're going to save an animal's life. And so that was really encouraging to think about just trying to do it on as many days as I can. And if it's a day that I can't, you know, don't worry about it so much, but just try to, you know, if I can start incorporating a day here and a day there, those days will add up. And then if I find some recipes that work for me, you know, it's interesting. One of the biggest things I got from doing John's Freedom Journal is that I need to plan more. Like when I see what could, you know, he has those, I don't know if you're doing the Freedom Journal, but he has those questions, you know, what didn't go as well as I wanted it to today or something. And then you write, what could make it better? I almost always, like I found there was a real thread that I need to plan more. And I think my diet is a big part of that.
Yeah. If you
like planning,
you know,
fruit, cutting fruit up in advance, like planning my meals ahead of time. So I'm not like going to my just, you know, starving and looking in the fridge and what's there, what's quick, what's easy.
Yeah. It's like, if you fail to plan, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Right. And so it's the same with business. It's the same with food. Like you have to schedule these things out. Like, okay, Sunday is my cooking time. If I need to cook my meals for the week, and between 2 to 5 o'clock, I'm cooking, you know, for my family. And that's actually not something I do, but I'm just saying like, that's an example. And then for me, it's like, okay, I'm working on my business and there's, you know, some of my businesses aren't paying yet, but I still have to make time for them to grow in the future. So I have to schedule the time to work on them. And it's just like a meeting. Like, let's say that you had a meeting, a business meeting, or you had dinner with your friends, you wouldn't cancel. So don't cancel on yourself, right? Be accountable to yourself. I love the Freedom Journal for that reason, because it makes you accountable.
Aw, I like that. Okay, are you ready for my final question?
Sure.
It's kind of a doozy.
Okay.
If there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about or project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel, Allie, is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either in your local area or on a national or a global scale? And you can talk about your film, or you can talk about your podcast, or you can talk about, you know, or if there's something else, I don't know.
To be honest, I think there are so many issues, but the one that really comes forward to me right at this moment is factory farming and the detrimental effects it has on our environment and our health, and the animals. And so, you know, I'm not saying go watch a bunch of PETA videos and become an animal activist, but you have to realize that factory farming is one of the most unsustainable things that we do on the planet. And we are clearing out the rainforests that have the potential to heal cancer and other diseases, rainforests that are the habitat for our animals, that are their homes, rainforests that are keeping our environment rich, alive, and beautiful. And we're clearing that out. And the statistics are staggering. And so earlier when you said the thing about eating one vegan meal a day saves one animal, that's true. And that comes directly from the film Cowspiracy. So if you want to learn more about what I'm talking about, watch Cowspiracy. Factory farming is so unsustainable that it's destroying our ecosystem quickly. Besides the fact that they are so abusive to animals, it will make you cry. So why is it that if you go to the zoo and your kids see the animals, but you can't tell them what's going to happen to them, that they're actually the food on your plate? If we can't tell them, doesn't that mean that there's something wrong with what we're doing? And so factory farming is just one of those things that makes me sick to my stomach. And they're passing all these laws, ag gag laws, for example, in North Carolina. You can't film inside of a factory farm, for the very reason that they know that it will expose the injustice that is being done to the animals. And the people that are working in these, basically, they lose all sense of themselves. They lose all sense of what's right and wrong. And it's creating a terrible culture for the factory farm workers. It's also, you know, destroying our planet, destroying our ecosystem, destroying our rainforest. And just watch Cowspiracy, man. That's all I got to say.
Oh, that was perfect. I like the way you talk about the workers who work there and that it's not good for them. That's really empathetic and just a really nice, you know, visionary type of thing to talk about, because I think a lot of people just only talk about the animals and nobody really mentions about what's it like to work in a place like that. And, you know, what if that's the only job you could have and you had to go there every day, even if you didn't approve of it?
Can you imagine? I mean, it desensitizes you and it makes you uncompassionate yourself, you know?
Yeah. And they say that the biggest, like, you know, link to psychological things are people who hurt animals, right? Like,
yeah.
Isn't that like a big sign how somebody treats an animal?
Yes.
To their
yes.
psychological welfare. Anyway, well, let's finish on a positive note. Amazing, amazing millennial rock stars. So, are you? You're a millennial, right? Are you?
The funny, I'm 1980. I am on the cusp of Generation X and millennial, so I can relate to the selfie generation, and I can relate to like the justice fighting, like, you know, I can relate to both. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I totally think there's like a special thing for the people that are born between like that are between 30 and 40 right now. I think
I'm 35.
Yeah. I really think there's something about people who are between 30 and 40 years old in 2016, 2015 that are like super, but I love millennials and I definitely count you in there. So keep on rocking. So I'm definitely going to encourage everybody to check out the Food Heals podcast. They're so fun to listen to and they have great guests and they're full of just, you know, really good information that I know my listeners are going to be interested in. And thank you for being with us today. So tell everybody how to connect with you. Like, do you have a Twitter feed or, you know, your website?
Yeah, thank you, Jackie. Everything, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Food Heals Nation. You can find me on Snapchat at Allison Melody TV. Our website is foodhealsnation.com. We're currently in development of our Food Heals VIP Club, which is going to be a place where we're going to have classes and private podcasts on the subjects of spirituality, nutrition, and business. You can sign up to find more about that at foodhealsvip.com.
Okay, just say that last part one more time because, I don't know, some reason Skype got like all funky.
And our show notes website where we host all the podcast show notes is at foodhealsnation.com. And we're currently in development of the Food Heals VIP Club, where we're teaching classes and hosting private podcasts about spirituality, nutrition, and business. And that you can find more about at foodhealsvip.com.
Awesome. We might have to have you come back and talk about just the VIP club.
Sure.
I think I signed up for the newsletter for that, right?
Awesome. Yeah, you probably did.
Okay. And I'm super excited to follow you on Snapchat because I love Snapchat. So
it's so fun, right? Okay. What's your handle? I'll follow you too.
I think I'm just Organic G Podcaster. I don't know. If you look up Jackie M. Byer, it comes up. It's on my Facebook page. So
I'll find you.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today and have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Jackie. Thanks for having me. And I can't wait until you're on our podcast as well.
Okay, me too. Thanks, Allison.
Thank you.
If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening. And remember to grow.